When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Unpacking the Toolbox is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio.
G, you know what's so cool about you being a stoner? I have to say, you have such an amazing work ethic around it. First of all, let it be known here and first and foremost, I worked with Guillermo every single day almost for 7 years straight. You have never come to work stoned. You would never. Yeah. That's your worst nightmare.
I can't.
Like, it's your worst nightmare. It scares the shit out of you.
Oh, yeah. I would never. But part of me wishes I could function at work and be high. But there's no way. I'm
yeah,
too
so
anxious.
You've just
I'm
never
too,
crossed
like,
that
yeah.
line, but
no,
you are
no, no,
someone that,
never.
Like, when you come home from the work day,
yeah. Hell yeah.
It's like, I'm going to smoke to, yeah. like, take the edge off and, like, whatever. But I feel like most people would get pretty muddy there.
Yeah.
And it's, like, just
yeah.
all
And
day.
I know that there's some big actors. Like, I know Eddie Murphy, I've heard, does it
Huge.
In Jack Nicholson. Like, they're constantly stoned on set. Like,
Huge.
And, but
I mean, isn't
their
Harrison
work,
Ford?
Harrison Ford too, but their work is stellar. You know what I mean? It doesn't affect their work, and that's a special breed. I can't do that shit.
Well, let it be a secret here, but like I've never been fucked up. I've never been fucked up in Scandal. No. My memory went back
yeah.
to on Scandal because I was the youngest of the series regulars. they used to give me the last shot of the night on a Friday, and I would get called into work at 10 p.m. to shoot like at midnight
yeah.
and be wrapped by 2 a.m. And one time, I was not drunk by any means, but I had a beer on my deck and then had to like drive to work, but I had a beer and I was like completely fucking goody two shoe, like horrified that
you
I had
like,
done that.
They're gonna know. Everyone's gonna know.
I was just like, oh my yeah. God, how could I have had a fucking beer? First of all, it's a fucking beer. Like if you shoot in Europe or you shoot
yeah.
in England, so
yeah.
many people have beer or wine with lunch
yeah.
in the middle of a shoot day.
Oh, yeah.
Like since then, now that I've grown up and I'm not little baby bitch, when we shot Inventing Anna, and we shot in Morocco and we were with a foreign crew in Morocco. I mean, every day,
oh.
the hour lunch, everyone's having a glass or two of wine.
Really?
Like, oh, yeah. It was
I love it.
Wonderful. Like, I was like, why does this seem so fun? So I was never drunk on Scandal. But I have to say, when we did the Broadway and Adam and I did Waitress, for some reason, when you do a musical, a lot of people take like a shot of whiskey.
Oh,
or
shit.
Something like before the show or in intermission to sort of like warm up their cords because
yeah.
whiskey makes your cords feel like really lubricated and super
uh-huh.
warm and everyone's got whiskey in their room and you just like take a shot.
What?
And I'm not gonna lie, my character I played had so much heavy lifting in the first act. I've never done it for the first act, but the second act, Dawn is really not around that much. And so I remember there were a couple of the 100 million shows we did where the second act – I was like a little bit, in no way, shape, form.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, super, I just had like a light buzz.
Yeah.
And it was a blast. And I thought I was the greatest actor ever.
Of course. Yeah, I did a movie with Maria Conchita Alonso. Uh-huh. And she, while we were downtime, while they were setting up, she would go around with tequila shots and make us do tequila shots. So I did do that a couple of times, but I just did like one or two. But I was like, okay.
Did you feel like you were the best actor ever?
Yeah. Totally.
That's sort of the weird thing about it.
You lose your inhibitions, but I also didn't do that much where I was like super like buzz. But she was no joke. She would literally go around and give us all tequila shots. I was like, what's happening? But it was Maria Conchita Alonso. I had to do it. I couldn't say no.
Non-negotiable. Like, are you joking? Of course you have to do that. But Scandal, God, everyone was such goody two shoes. Like, you would never.
No.
Ever. Ever. Mm-mm. But you never, and you're such a stoner. I always love that you were so like, you're just very disciplined. You're really good at your own boundaries because I would be like, ooh.
Yeah.
This fucking episode.
Right.
I just rewatched and had to, I closed my eyes for a lot of it because I cannot handle what they're doing to you. I cannot.
Oh my God.
This is horrific. Ugh. It's not okay. Like, I can't believe this episode
exists.
Can you
believe that shit?
I don't even care about what happens in the rest of this episode. I mean, I do, but I just want to hear about your experience in shooting this because it is a fucking nightmare. Like, I can't watch it. I don't know if it's because I love you so much as a friend or I love Huck so much as a character, but it's really hard to watch.
Yeah.
And we're talking about episode 210, One for the Dog, which aired on January 10th, 2013. It was written by
Heather Mitchell, and it was directed by Steve Robin.
It was guest starring Susie Porfar as Becky Flynn, Brian Lesher as Tom, Wendy Davis as Kimberly Mitchell, Stoney Westmoreland as Hal Rimbaugh, Kavita Patil as President's Doctor. Wow, she was great. And who else, G?
And Sam McMurray as the U.S. Attorney, Pat Wexler, Joe Holt as the Secretary of Defense, Virginia Louise Smith as Secretary of State, Troy Vincent as NSA type, Sonia Rockwell as Trixie, Jay Jackson as a male reporter, and James McDonald as interrogator.
Okay, let's do the synopsis very, very quickly because I this is the most violent. I can't. Okay, synopsis. After Verna Thornton expresses her concerns about Hollis Doyle, Olivia and the team get to work trying to uncover Hollis's involvement in the assassination attempt. But when the word miraculously comes that Fitz is awake and ready to reclaim the presidency, Olivia learns that they're in much deeper trouble than they scramble to cover up Melly's fraud.
Meanwhile, David Rosen sees the dark side of the government as they torture Huck under the Patriot Act. When Huck talks, he warns David that Becky isn't done yet, not until the president is dead.
Things come to a head when Olivia convinces Sally to let Huck out if they can promise to turn in the real assassin.
Yo. Some crazy shit.
I cannot watch this fucking episode. I cannot. Have you ever been tortured before in any show you've done?
I don't think so, but I remember we had to rehearse the waterboarding. I didn't know about waterboarding. I didn't really know what it was. I didn't understand it. And then we did a couple of rehearsals with Tom Verica. Which is weird. Oh, Tom was there because he was the producing director.
Right.
And our director, of course, Steve Robin.
Right.
And they just laid me on a plank and pulled me back and just were like, this is what it's going to be like. And they poured the water slowly over my face, like with a rag over my mouth and nose.
When you rehearsed it, would they say like, okay, now hold your breath? Or like, what? Or you're screaming.
Yeah. I mean, I think instinctually, you know, I just held my breath. But, you know, they did it very sort of lightly, and they sort of, you know, got me used to it, and they just kind of wanted me to feel what was going to feel like when we shot it. But it was intense, man. You know, the craziest thing about shooting that stuff was that I had to be naked, but they, you know, as actors, when you're naked in a scene, they usually give you a little cover up thing
for banana hammock.
Yeah, the banana.
I'm deceased. I cannot. Here's why. Why is, if someone's tortured under the Patriot Act, why do they have to be naked? Is that even like a thing?
Right?
I don't fucking know.
To humiliate them. It's also, you know, it's mental torture too.
Oh my
but
God.
An interesting fact, the guy that's sort of the head, he's the interrogator in that scene. He's wearing
a
black
t-shirt.
Oh, he's
so fucking horrible. Wanted to fucking kill him dead 20,000 times
Yes.
Over.
Now, Katie is a Sex and the City fan.
He
was in a Sex and the City episode.
Which one?
It was when they go to LA and Samantha goes to like a sex shop, like show or whatever. And this guy has like a a dildo that he's selling. It's a cast of his penis.
Yes. And Samantha, that's that guy.
And Samantha sleeps with him. And then he's like, I'm a poet too. And he wants to keep reciting poetry to her. And she's like, I just want you to fuck me.
Yeah.
But he has like a penis in a box that he, you know, they sell at the sex shops.
I completely remember this. That's
him.
The guy.
That's the guy. Well, his name is James McDonald. Yeah.
He's pretty hot.
He is hot.
Like,
but
I thought he was pretty hot.
Yeah. But also, another fun fact that I found is that he is related to the 23rd U.S. president, President Benjamin Harrison.
Get the fuck out of here.
Isn't that crazy?
There are two things that are crazy about this, that he's related to Benjamin Harrison. And the second thing is that I don't think I ever knew that we had a president named Benjamin Harrison.
I didn't either. He served one term from 1889 to 1893. He was a Republican. And Grover Cleveland preceded him. Uh-huh. And succeeded him as well.
No one gave a fuck about this dude, really.
Yeah, he did one term and he was out. But how interesting that Grover Cleveland preceded him. So he was the president before and then he was the president after. He was the only president in U.S. history.
Who's ever done that? A two-term president, but not consecutively.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, my God. Crazy shit. And related to
Dick Mold Guy, James.
And torturer, James McDonald. Take me to the night before the waterboarding scene. Are you up all night? You can't sleep. You're terrified. Or are you excited because you love horror movies and this is your shit? Or are you just like feeling like, I can't wait to fucking do this? Or are you just like, I don't want to do this?
Yeah. You know what? With scenes like this, Katie, I feel more not nervous and more not anxious at all because in the scene, I have to be so traumatized and anxious and scared and, you know, all those emotions that I don't stress about it. I get more anxious and nervous about scenes where I have to, you know, say a bunch of words and be very, you know, proper and at OPA or whatever. Right. That stuff makes me more nervous than a scene like this because I'm just, you know what I mean? Because I know when I get there, if I feel anxious, I'm like, oh, just
you're
use this shit for the scene. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to scream and you're going to flip out. And
yeah, I was more excited about doing it than anything.
You were so outstanding in this episode, and I really, I couldn't watch it. Like, I just was it's so violent to watch someone be tortured. First of all, it's absolutely fucking horrifying because the person can't fight back. And
the fact, like, I was thinking the fact that they actually do this, like, our government does this shit.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
Other governments as well, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Doing that and even shadier shit. But the fact that shit like this happens, goes down. And because you're in the Pentagon, there are no rules. Like,
that's
they can
the
do whatever the
Josh
fuck
Malina's
they want.
Josh Malina's character comes out. He's like, this is U.S. soil. And the guy's like, no, it fucking ain't. This is the bowels of the fucking Pentagon. There are no citizens here. There are no human rights. Like, we don't give a shit. Like, we are figuring out who shot the president.
Yo, and around this time, Katie, I don't know if you remember, there's a photo of me getting waterboarded, like when they sit me up and I'm saying, I'll talk from here.
Yeah.
Oh, photo was released on the internet by TMZ of me saying that I went crazy on set and murdered Joe Morton. Do you remember this?
No.
Yes.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Yes. It was on Twitter. They released it, Katie, for like
before
2 minutes.
Before the episode came out?
It was during the time. I don't know if it was before or like right after, but they used that photo of me getting interrogated, and TMZ, who is a
huge,
reputable, like,
yes, huge celebrity.
They're sort of tabloidy, but they're legit, if you will.
Yeah. Of course.
How crazy is that?
Are you fucking out of your mind?
You could
Did
still
you
kind
see
of
it
Google
and go
it.
Tell somebody? Like,
no, because somebody told me about it and it popped up on Twitter and I saw it and then next thing I knew it was gone. I think TMZ realized, oh shit, we fucked up. At first I think they thought, is this real? And they just released it and they didn't do their due diligence and make sure that it was real. It was the weirdest shit.
Fuck you, TMZ. At the same, let it be known to you listeners that we are professional researchers, producers, and geniuses behind the Scandal Rewatch podcast have done a deep dive, and the photo and the evidence no longer even exists that has the picture of you being waterboarded saying that you killed Joe Morton.
That's pretty good.
Good
That's pretty
Lord.
Good.
Well, maybe, you know what? TMZ probably has something to like sweep.
Right?
You know,
to sweep. Right?
To sweep
They'd
the internet
have to.
If they like fuck up, which by the way, I had to sweep the internet of all my personal stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because somebody was calling my voicemail and jerking off into it, Guillermo.
No.
Yeah.
Was he talking? Were they talking?
Yes. Yes.
And were they calling breathing. You Quinn?
Nope, Katie. It was recent. It was right after an How We Roll episode aired. And an unknown number started ringing, and I quickly picked up because I was like, it's definitely my mother. Although my mother never has an unknown number. It's just like, whenever I'm in something, the minute it's done airing East Coast
your
time,
mom
the
calls.
First and only person to call is my mother.
Is your mom,
so
yes.
I pick up, and it's like,
Katie,
your fucking ass, like this, that, and the other thing, talking about my butt, talking about my body, talking about me, and like getting heavier and heavier and heavier, and I got scared, and I quickly hung up. And then they called again, and I picked up, and it was the guy again. And then I hung up, and I didn't know what to do. And then he called again, and I hand the phone to Adam. And Adam picks up, and he's like, who the fuck is this? You know, da-da-da-da-da, leave my wife alone, blah, 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 blah. And then I get a million missed calls from that number, and then a million voice mails left with the person finishing and all of that. And Adam is being, like, so old-school traditional. It was actually kind of cute. He's like, you're not listening to this. This is absolute, this is disgusting. You're not listening to this.
And he's like, I got to listen to it one more time just to make sure.
But I hired, like, professional companies that go over the internet and erase, like, my phone number was Googleable.
Oh, shit.
Then it started this whole barrage of, like, very weird phone calls. Anyway, I have a new number, people.
No.
If you're trying to find me, good luck. It was great. We will be back with more after the break.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
This episode, besides you being held in the Pentagon under the Patriot Act, we also have that Fitz is still unconscious in the hospital. And Melly has gone ahead and forged his signature, which she claims she's been forging and can do perfectly since he was governor. And everyone thinks that he's awake and fully functioning. And Olivia and Cyrus and Melly are doing all that they can to sort of keep up the facade that he's awake and fine. And they're,
yes.
You know, and the president becomes our client while you're getting the shit kicked out.
Yes,
of you.
Yes.
Olivia
yes.
comes in and says, we have a new client. And the client that we're working on is trying to throw the press off that, like, he is alive. He's fine.
Yeah. I love when Olivia gets word that Fitz is alive. That scene where she goes to the hospital and she's wearing those fucking white gloves that literally go up to her biceps.
My God.
And she's fucking...
He's awake. And she's like sort of smiley. And she can't wait
cool
to
scene.
See him. And she's in a she's in a really beautiful cashmere t-shirt, sweater. And she takes off these long gloves. And then she goes in and she's like, Fitz.
And she's like, this motherfucker's not awake.
She's like, what did you do?
But those gloves are Dorothy Gaspar gloves. That's the
How do you
designer.
Know that?
I fucking talk about a deep dive. I went looking for that shit.
Oh my God, Guillermo Diaz, you're a dreamboat.
And it also had this whole write-up thing where Lynn Paolo was interviewed about those gloves in that scene. And she said that Carrie and her at first were sort of hesitant. Like, you know, this is such an intense scene. She's going to see Fitz in the hospital. She thinks he's awake for the first time. Would she be wearing these long, you know, fashionable, luxurious gloves? And they were like, yep, it's Olivia Pope. She always has like that fashion sense. She always looks good.
Always.
Like she would
even
totally
when
wear
Edison
them
is
no
like,
matter what. Yeah.
That stuck out to me in this episode too, when Edison is like, you haven't been home in 2 days. I'm like, she looks this great and her outfits are so put together when she hasn't been home or brushed her teeth or taken a shower. Like, what
the
fuck?
I would be haggard. I'm
oh
haggard
my
right
God.
Now. Yeah.
So fucking haggard. Sally knows that they're lying. It's so fun to see Kate Burton in the Oval Office acting as the president in the interim. You know, like she's moved around photographs. She's put in her own personal shit.
Yeah, she moved Fitz's dusty old ship, as she calls it.
Yeah,
that shit aside.
That's right. And Melly's all like, that was a present from Bush Sr.,
but whatever. It's okay. We'll be back soon enough. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I just think this episode, it's so fucking chock full. We have James, who has quit being a reporter because he's sitting patiently waiting for a baby.
Yes.
Which Cyrus is sort of hanging over his head, you know, like they mm-hmm. have a back and forth, like a carrot rabbit. Scenes where, you know, James is like, I'm going to publish that the president isn't really awake. And Jeff is like, well, then you're not getting your fucking baby.
Yeah, your fucking baby, your fat baby.
Yes. What other things stuck out to you in this ep?
Oh, then the David Rosen, when he goes and tells Olivia about Huck, she's like, they're torturing the fuck out of him. But he did speak and he did say something. He said, the person that shot Fitz is not done if the president is still alive.
Oh, wait. Did you shoot all that torturing thing in one day?
Yeah, we shot all that stuff in one day. Yeah, but
So the waterboarding, getting your... Because it kind of accelerates. They go from, like, they start the episode where they're waterboarding you.
Yeah.
And then it moves into, like, they're punching the
beating
shit out of
up.
You.
Yes. Yeah,
beating
yeah,
you
yeah.
up. And then they even, like, turn you on your side and they're, like, scalpeling you.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And like kicking him, right? They're like kicking the shit out of him. And
oh my God. How did was there someone there blocking that? Like, was that all fight shit?
Yeah. I mean, our stunt coordinator was there.
What I learned from Scandal is that I don't like action.
Yeah.
Like, I like playing a badass. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But
you just don't like all the action.
When I listen to these interviews of like, I just listened to Emily Blunt on Smartless or something, and she's like, you know, how much she loved, like, training and doing some big thing with Tom Cruise and all that.
Fuck,
I'm like, bitch, no,
shit.
I want to do Sense and Sensibility. Yeah. I want to walk and talk. I want a West Wing big-ass fucking monologue where I'm walking and I'm talking very fast, or I'm sitting and I'm drinking a tea, or
tea.
I'm falling to my knees and I'm crying or something like that. Like, that's all fine. I don't want to be doing this. Okay, wait. What else is happening in this episode? David Rosen is very much on your side, and I feel like this whole episode, he's like, God, Josh Molina, what a dick. He's really good.
He is really good.
He's really good, and he's the only person that's like, this is not okay.
Yeah.
What we're doing to this person. And so he sort of really makes it his mission in this episode to go to Olivia and figure out how to get Huck out of there. And my God, Guillermo. So you shot the torturing all in one day, and then when they finally let you out and they just
threw me out of the car
threw you out on the side of a street and Olivia goes to sort of maybe put her arm around you and you just shy
and
away
I
like
flinch.
A dog that's been like kicked the shit out of one too many times and can't receive any touch from another human whatsoever. Oh my
It's got that PTSD from that shit. Yeah, I love that scene. I love that scene. But also, I was like, how the fuck, like, I'm so, like, I'm a little guy. I'm, like, skinny in this episode. I'm little. I'm like, I would have talked from the first slap across my face. I would have been like, I did it. I don't know who did it. Like, what the fuck? Like, Huck is a little guy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, this motherfucker endured that shit.
It's not about your body. It's about your mental capacity.
Yes. What you can take. Yep.
And when Sally Langston finally decides to let Huck out, because all the motherfuckers who are beating the shit out of you get called in with Olivia Pope, thanks to Josh Molina's, thanks to David Rosen, into the Oval Office. And they're like, this guy's not talking. Here's an entire pamphlet on why this dude is the way this dude is. And she gets to like two pages where...
Yeah, they're like, read page 4 and 5. Yeah. And she's like...
Yes, and Kate Burton's entire face changes. Yes. What do you think she read on them about Huck?
That was such a great moment for her as an actor, because her face completely changes and it makes you think, what the fuck did she just read, right?
Well, all I can think of was like, oh my God, you murdered the most wanted or the most high profile political terrorist, whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you think was on those pages?
Oh, same. I got super morbid. I was like, did she read like that he skinned somebody, like a really bad sort of, you know,
like the worst way to torture from somewhere, like flayed and like the fucking worst, something.
Or cause them to have like a heart attack just by like talking to them or doing some crazy shit to them. I don't know. I just went to a real
complete
to the dark side. Yeah.
Like Saw 5 or whatever.
Yes. Yes.
Never watch. So she says to let you out, and then we have that moment where Olivia picks you up on the side of the street, but you're on a mission. You're like, we don't have time. Yeah. We don't have time, because I'm the only person that knows that if the fucking president is not dead yet, that Becky's not done.
Yeah, and he knows, at this point, Huck knows that Becky is one of him.
Right.
They're the same, you know, they've come from the same world. He knows what she's capable of, and she's not going to stop, yeah.
Right, and so they do this whole ploy of they're like, we're going to move the body to Camp David. And Olivia's, they're going to move the body to Camp David, and Sally and everyone's like, they're fucking moving the body to Camp David because this is all still bullshit. He's not awake. Yeah. How long can they keep this rue going or whatever the hell?
Yeah.
At the meantime, oh my God, I love this scene. We haven't talked about it, and then we'll get back to David and the ending. But when Edison shows up at the hospital and gets in Olivia's face and is like, if you're fucking lying to me, this is treason. You will be held in court, you know, blah, blah, blah.
And she's like, fuck no. She gets so angry,
Olivia is like, goodbye, Edison. Yeah. And you see that she's like literally choosing a dead Fitz who won't even speak over Senator Puddin'Pop.
She's choosing vegetable Fitz over Senator Puddin'Pop. Yep, that's exactly right.
I feel so bad for Norm Lewis's run in this show. I just do. I mean, look, anyone who got cast to oppose the Olitz relationship
is done for.
Fucked. Yeah.
Is done for.
Before you even walk on.
Yeah.
But
you could also, you could feel Olivia's energy around him, and she's just not into him. You could feel it. The audience feels it. She's feeling it. Like, nobody wants them to be together.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
I love that scene earlier in the episode where he's like, you have at least say hello to me, when she's like, what did you find out about, you know, about Huck or whatever? And he's like, at least say hello and give me a kiss.
How was your day? Yeah.
Yeah. And then towards the end of that scene, she's like, okay, fine, let's have sex. And they start me. I was like, oh, they're going to fuck real. She's like, all right, I'm going to give you a mercy fuck real quick so you can shut up. But she's so not into him. She does not want him.
This is sort of their ending. I mean, I feel like through...
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's their breakup. He's like, if you don't come clean to me, and she's like, goodbye, Edison.
Yeah.
And he knows she's lying, and she knows that she's not going to give up the information, and it's just over.
I wonder how many more episodes he did after this. I mean, I guess
We'll find out.
We'll find out
if you
keep watching.
We're doing more Scandal Rewatch podcasts, and we'll see what the hell happens to
Edison. As we unpack this toolbox,
we'll
find out.
So you're on. So we set this whole fake thing up that the body's going to move to Camp David. And also, Abby and them have found a burner phone in Hollis's desk with only one number that's been called repeatedly, and it's Becky's burner phone.
It's Becky's number, yeah.
And so Becky goes to the roof, which has perfect access to be able to sniper shoot the body and finish the deal as he's being carted and moved to Camp David. But what happens, James?
And Huck scopes it out. He's, you know, you see a shot of him looking around. He's like, all right, that's the spot where she's going to go and shoot and finish Fitz off. And then there's that scene with Huck and Olivia where they're standing side by side and she gives him that number, that Becky number.
Yep.
And so, you know, a couple of moments happen, and then he's up on the roof. We see Becky up on the roof getting her rifle ready, and he calls her on that burner phone. Ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding, and she picks that shit up. Yeah, and he's like, hi, Becky. And she turns around. Oh, it's such a cool moment.
She's
and he's got the gun pointed at her, and she's like, If I take out my gun, you're going to put 4 bullets in me, aren't you? And he said, 5. 1 for the dog, which is the title of this episode. Because in the previous episode, Becky...
Oh my God, that's right! I'm a fucking idiot. One for the dog, but you're talking about the whole family and the dog that she shot.
In the previous episode. Yeah, Becky
These
kills the whole family.
These writers are so fucking smart.
I know. But one for the dog, and everybody can relate to that, you know. Because you fuck, like, people have such, you know, they're like your family, your fucking pets.
Yes.
Anyway, so he fucking tells her one for the dog. And then the SWAT team swarms them and takes them both down. And I thought, why are they taking Huck down? Didn't they know he was there to, like, save the day and find the person that actually shot Fitz? Like, what the fuck is happening?
Well,
Poor
I
Huck.
Guess
they threw him down.
I know, but it's like you're not out of custody until
right.
The deal was that Olivia and you had to deliver.
That's right.
The assassin. So I guess
until they knew
for sure that Becky was Becky and all of that, they weren't going to take any chances. But so you get flung on the ground, handcuffed, arms behind your back. So does Becky. And it's a really fucking cool shot where you're like head to head, but your bodies are on opposite sides.
Yes.
And she's like, Kate, that's my real name.
And Huck is like, what?
And then she's like, what's yours?
And he's like, does it matter? Which is, in the previous episode, Huck asks her name after they have sex, and she says, does it matter?
Yeah.
And he sort of, you know, he clocks that as a bit of a red flag where he's like, oh, she's not telling
me
her real name.
She doesn't really care about
you. She's up to something. Yeah.
Like, she's not really investing in this relationship.
So he gives it back to her here.
And so you sort of get yours, and you get even in this moment. And they have Becky, and Sally Langston is able to make her big, you know, thing out on, you know, out. She does a huge speech from the Oval Office to the American people saying that the assassin has been caught. And then at the same time, they release you to Olivia Pope's custody and you get brought back into OPA where we're all fucking eating Chinese food, which, by the way, what the fuck is Quinn doing? Like, I can't. Did you see me at the beginning of this scene? I'm just scarfing Chinese
food.
You
are. We were probably so hungry and excited to eat.
No, you're not in it yet. You haven't been dropped off yet.
Right.
We're watching the address that Sally Langston is giving to the American people that the killer has been found.
And Harrison.
And everyone's gripped
Olivia,
to the screen.
And
Olivia,
what are you doing? Are you eating?
I'm just fucking face planted into the Chinese takeout container and I'm just fucking eating. And I'm like, wow, Quinn really like eats her problems. And then I'm like, why did they use a take? Because you knew there were other takes in there where I was also looking at
of
the fucking
course.
Television.
I think about that shit all the time. But you know what? The camera move was like super slick and it was perfect. And that's
why
they chose that take.
Where it looks like Quinn is just a fucking idiot.
The face planted in the food. But also, Katie, remember, we'd have moments where we'd have scenes like that where we were all together where we couldn't stop laughing. So I wonder if you had your face down because you just could
not make eye contact with people.
Yes, exactly. And you were just like, I'm going to keep my shit down
because
I don't want to lose it.
That's so funny. We used to have to do so many scenes where we would literally have to look down and avoid eye contact with each other because the giggles were so bad in the crew. Was gonna kill us.
Oh, it was the worst.
So we're
couldn't even look
eating
at
Chinese
each other.
Food. I feel like I was eating a fucking lo mein, which is just delicious.
Oh, who doesn't love a lo mein?
Who doesn't love a fucking lo mein? And you get dropped off, and it's you're so battered. Your face is so fucked up, and it's the first time that the whole OPA has seen you. And you come and you take off your jacket, and it seems like so painful because your body's so fucked up. And you sit down,
and Quinn is like, welcome home. Oh, I love that. He gives her a look like it's just such a deadpan look. Not even a thank you or whatever. He's just like, yeah, bitch, I'm hurting.
I know. Quinn's just like, welcome home. Like, what else are you supposed to say in this like completely insane? And it's so lovely. And again, I feel like it just did such a good job of like satisfying that thing of like the OPA people, like as weird and as fucked up as their jobs are or their individual lives. Like when they come together at that conference table, they're just such a family.
Yeah.
You know, that conference table, I've told you, I don't know if I've told you on this podcast, but that conference table's in Shondaland offices.
Yes. Yeah. Oh,
yeah,
that's so great.
Thank God.
We'll be right back, guys.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun.
You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with The 7 every weekday. So follow The 7 right now.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
And the episode ends, Olivia's sitting on the couch in her office and Quinn comes in. I hate my outfit.
You had that tight ass fucking
calf
length pencil skirt.
Why did she tailor them above my knee? And I always wish they were over my knee. I feel like that would have looked more flattering, but Lynn Paolo's the professional and she knows.
Right.
And then I'm wearing this pink button down that's
like dress
too
shirt,
tight and tucked into the pencil skirt. My God, if I had to slam my body into something like that these days, I would just say no.
Oh my God, I thought you looked great. I thought you looked good.
Oh God. But Quinn walks in and she's like, what the fuck,
Olivia? Yeah, what the fuck? Talk to me.
We know Hollis is the person who blew up Cytron. He killed my ex-boyfriend.
Yeah. Ruined my life.
He ruined my life. And now we know that he hired Becky to kill the president, and you're still doing nothing about it? I want answers.
Why are you
answers.
Just sitting there? Yeah.
What is going on? Give me answers. And she's like, you want to talk? Okay, come, let's talk. And I sit down. I'm like, holy shit, she's going to talk. She's going to talk. And then it's like, and she picks up the phone, and Fitz says, hi.
Hi.
And she says, hi. And she can't believe it because he's fucking awake.
Yeah. Oh.
He's awake. How many times was he shot in the head?
Oh my God. I don't remember. Two? Was it two or three?
There's no way a person survives that. Although,
hell no.
Is it fucking possible to be shot in the head and survive?
But you got to be real lucky to be shot in the head and still be able to live and have all your shit working correctly. Like, you got to be a lucky
bastard. And then, like,
bastard.
Have sex with Olivia Pope and a million other people in this series for the next 7 seasons.
But how easy was this episode for Tony, huh? Like, that was a dream. Like, he just had to lay in the hospital bed.
Have you ever done that?
I think I had to do it. Remember, Huck was in the hospital bed.
Oh, yeah.
I think I did a whole episode like that, too, I think.
You did. I had multiple times where I've had to act with you in a hospital bed coming to my memory right now, or where I've had to get in the hospital bed and hold you, or you were holding me, or like something.
I don't remember if that was a whole episode that I was in the hospital, or if it was the ending of that episode where Huck is like underwater, goes underwater with his car, and then he has to get out and all that shit.
I've never done that.
No. Ugh. I'd be afraid that I'd like fart in my sleep.
Well, now that we've talked a lot about that, you're a sleep farter.
God damn it, right?
You would be
There's
in
no
trouble.
Way.
Everybody would be in trouble. Did you ever fall asleep in the hospital scenes that you shot in Scandal when you were in the hospital?
No, I don't think so. I don't think I did. I don't remember falling asleep. Uh-uh. I'm a professional.
Fitz got paid the big bucks for this episode because not only was he asleep, but in the whole episode, he only has one line
one
and it just happens
line.
To be one fucking word.
Yes.
And
yes,
it's
yes.
Hi.
Oh, yeah. I just want to shout out some of our reporter guest stars. There's a bunch of them. And there's one that has I think he did a bunch of our Scandal episodes. His name is Jay Jackson. He's the male reporter.
Oh, he's so good.
Remember, he was at our final table read.
Remember? My God.
He was there. I guess he had some lines in that episode and they brought him on. But I looked him up and it said he's played a news anchor or a reporter 28 times in his career. I was like, oh my God.
wow, that guy must get a breakdown for a reporter from his agents and be everyone should just go home.
Talk about typecasting.
I'm going to book it.
Right, I'm going to book this shit. Meanwhile, I played 28 thugs and drug dealers and even more than that when I was... I got typecast in a whole different way.
I played 28 girl next doors.
Girl next doors.
I mean, I think. Oh, no. I've played some. You know, the only things I've shown, my son has not seen like anything I've done.
Yeah, he's still a little too young, right?
He's too little, yeah.
To like engage or want to watch, I bet, right?
He doesn't get it. He's like, what do you do? Yeah. I'm like, I make pretend for a living. It's fucking weird. I don't know. But we were laughing, Adam and I, like a year ago, and and he saw a few minutes of my Ghost Whisperer guest star.
Oh, yes.
And he was scarred.
He got upset.
Why are you a bad guy? Why are you mean? See, because I was saying I only play girl next door. That's not true. I love playing a fucking psychopath. Like, I played a ghost that was like a murderer that was like, I'm coming for you, like creepy as fuck. And he saw it and he was terrified.
Aren't you wet in that episode too? Aren't you wet the whole episode?
Because in Ghost Whisperer, for all you Ghost Whisperer fans out there, if you die in the episode, that's how your ghost exists the whole rest of the episode.
Yeah.
So my character drowned. So I was soaking wet for 9 days. They would hose me down before every scene and I would open my mouth and they rigged like a hose that water would just come pouring out of my mouth before I was able to start speaking.
My God.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the fuck?
I loved it though.
Oh yeah, it's fun. I had to get hosed down like that too for that one episode where I'm fucking wet. Every morning they'd hose me down.
No, oh my god.
Yeah, remember?
Scandal episode where you were drowned. Oh my god.
It's the worst.
That.
But also, so Jay Jackson, Katie, was also a news anchor on Inventing Anna.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
This guy.
This
Look
motherfucker
out.
Is doing
Do
it.
Do not audition against this guy if it's a Look news reporter y'all. Because you're not getting it.
All right, y'all, let's get into our favorite
tweets of the time. Ooh, one trill being on January 14th of 2013, Columbus Short is so sexy. He was really sexy in this episode. Oh my god, I miss him. And in this episode when he's like, they have to get into Hollis Doyle's office to see if there's a burner phone that Verna thinks she saw.
Oh,
and
he's so good,
you know,
in
Harrison
that scene.
Has to do this sort of like smooth talking to Hollis Doyle's dumbass Texan blonde assistant. And he's so smooth as per usual. Also, oh my god, from this tweet,
what?
One of my favorite scenes of this episode is when Columbus, you know, we're sitting, me, Darby, and Harrison are sitting in the conference room and we're all like, he's like, we can't mess with this. These are the things that go bump in the night.
This is
crazier than anything we've ever dealt with. Like, we don't know where Huck is. We don't know about Hollis. We can't call this number. Like, this is the real underground DC that none of us know. We can't mess with this.
Dark shit.
And the way that he delivers that little mini monologue as per usual is just such... He's so cool.
He's so good. He's so good.
He's
and
so
flipping
cool.
that phone. And then flipping that phone at the end. Oh,
oh my
I love
God,
it.
He's so cool.
Another tweet from Scorpo at Caught You Staring. Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good handle. Caught You Staring. He says, love can be your greatest weakness. Huck let love cloud his judgment. Hell yeah, you could say that again. We all know that.
Was it love or was it his donk?
I think it was his donk first, and then he probably started to catch the feels. You know what I mean?
So Huck really did have feelings for Becky and think that it could be a thing?
Yeah, yeah. That's how I played it and how I felt it as a thespian.
Okay, then we have, this is it. At Nonzi tweeted, it's official. I can't predict Shonda Rhimes' next move in Scandal. Yeah, no. Nobody could.
Yeah.
I've done it, I've shot it, and I've watched it multiple
Hell
times,
yeah.
and I still can't predict when things are happening.
Yeah. Beverly Gooden says, still funny at Scandal. Edison need to chill. Clearly, he hasn't had a relevant woman before. Insecure. Oh, shit. They're getting shady on his ass on Senator Putin.
The fans were not with Edison. The fans were not with Edison. That girl, Philippa, at Philippa90Hev says, ooh, Shonda Rhimes, stop selling me that good-to-be-true kind of romance. Love me some Scandal.
Yep. And another one says, Columbus Short is sexy. I just wanted to say that again.
He's so Columbus sexy. Short is sexy. Columbus Short is sexy. Columbus Short is so fucking sexy. What is this huge ass photo of you that
I know.
Aaron PWV wrote? Bob Maluga, Luga, 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 hashtag big huck on campus at Heather R.N. Brooks. He's back, hashtag scandal with a big picture of Hagrid Huck. So yeah. We don't know what the hell this means, but it's literally a picture of Hagrid Huck and it just says Bob Maluga, Luga, Luga, Luga.
I do look kind of cute in that picture though.
I think you look adorable. Oh my God. I think
again, being homeless Huck was the worst because I couldn't eat. That was the hardest part of being fucking homeless Huck because I had to have that beard on, glued on my face all day, and that wig. And I could not
eat. How did
you
feel about being nudie for the torture scenes? Had you been on like some big ass cleanse for that?
No. I think I had already remember I stopped sort of eating bread for a while. So I had gotten like super thin. So I was like, whatever. I was feeling good. I wasn't even thinking about that shit.
Next week's episode is called A Criminal, A Whore, An Idiot, and a Liar. Do you remember what the hell's that about?
You know what? That's a line that Olivia says. She says it to Edison. I think that's where she officially breaks up with him. Where she says, you have called me a criminal, a whore, a bit, and a liar. It's over, I think.
Let's see next week if
Guillermo's right. Next week, y'all got to tune in.
Guys got to tune in to make sure if Guillermo guessed right that that's who got that line in the ep. Please listen to the Scandal
Come
Rewatch
listen.
Podcast.
If you feel depressed, down in the dumps, not feeling lucky.
Like a psychopath, like a crazy person.
Yeah, you got to come listen
joy.
To. Yeah.
Come get your facts right.
Mm-hmm. Get your life right.
At the Scandal Rewatch Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We love you, Gladiators. Tune in next week for the criminal, whore, liar
and
thing.
A tramp, whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll figure out who said that and why.
Yeah.
Hear
Come
it here
listen
first,
again,
folks.
You guys.
Come listen. We love you guys.
Yeah.
Peace.
Peace out. Thank you guys for joining us on Unpacking the Toolbox. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, share with your friends, rate, or leave us a review.
Scandal is executive produced by Sandy Bailey, Alex Alche, Lauren Homan, Tyler Klang, and Gabrielle Collins. Our producer and editor is Vince DiGianni, with music by Chad Fisher.
Scandal is a production of ABC Signature, and you can follow along by rewatching Scandal on Hulu.
Unpacking the Toolbox is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, visit the iHeartRadio app or anywhere you subscribe to your favorite shows.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.